What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. This episode is the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap. This is where I batch together all the video games that were talked about during the week into one episode that you can get every single Friday. Now, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. As I locked eyes with the defender, we both knew what was coming next. I was gonna blow by him, dribble the ball once, leap up, and dunk right on his ass. The announcers were gonna lose it, and the crowd was going to go wild. And just like we thought, that's exactly what happened. I dunked on him, and it felt good. Unfortunately, I'm 5'9", or 5'10", on a really tall day in the real world. So NBA 2K is the closest that I'm ever going to come to dunking on a goal, or at least a goal that doesn't have Fisher-Price on it. But that's the magic of NBA 2K. The majority of the world will never make it to the NBA. Most of us basketball fans got that dream snuffed out due to a lack of height or a lack of skill. Hell, in my case, both. But the NBA 2K games allow us to live out a fraction of that dream. That's why, despite its many, and I do mean many, flaws, I can't help falling in love with NBA 2K over and over again, year after year. And what is a first for this show? In this episode, I'm going to tell you why I'm split on whether or not to recommend these games for your video game backlog. And here's the reason why. For every reason that this game is perfect for a good single player experience, there's a reason why it's not. It's the problem that 2K fans have had with this series for a while now. Let me explain. On the surface and gameplay wise, this game is the best sports game on the planet. The gameplay accurately represents the modern game of basketball. The players are well designed, and you can live out the aspect that you love about basketball. If you want to create a player and focus on your journey as a player, then you can do that. If you want to manage a team, you can also do that. If you want to rewrite basketball history like your Thanos with a time stone, then you can also do that. The game gives you so many ways to play and a lot of modes to really get invested in. It's honestly amazing. However, there's a reason why I call NBA 2K the gold digger of video games. Y'all remember the song by Kanye and Jamie Foxx? Now I ain't saying she a gold digger. That's exactly what NBA 2K is like. I'm for real. NBA 2K is a lot like a gold digger. For the full experience, you have to pay more. The game is littered with microtransactions. They're in all the popular modes but the My League mode that I like to play. Other than the My League mode, you're going to have to do a ridiculously long grind to get good or buy your way to good attributes or card packs. NBA 2K looks good, but it's an expensive date for a lot of gamers. For me personally, My League is what I want. It's the only mode I'll touch, so I'll pay the price for the game. For the majority of gamers, they have to pay the retail price for the game plus the additional money just to be competitive in the modes that they like. Quality-wise, this game is an easy recommendation to give. Morality-wise, not so much. When it comes to gameplay and presentation, this is the best sports game in its class. The current and the throwback rosters are always on point and massive. Each player usually looks like their real-life counterpart, and the commentary and the broadcast styles are usually the best in the business. Regardless of which yearly installment of 2K you're playing, you can either play in a pick-up-and-play kind of style, or you can be very methodical and strategic in the way you want to run plays and play basketball. This is truly a game that you can get lost in as a basketball fan. I've spent many years tinkering different rosters and rebuilding franchises, all in order to just start from the bottom and rise to the championship level, and I get a kick of that year after year after year. NBA 2K is really something special, and for a lot of us, it's the closest we're ever going to get to actually being an NBA basketball player. It's a shame that a lot of the great points of this game are usually overshadowed by the shadiness of the casino-like mode of My Team and all the microtransactions that we get exposed to year after year after year. And you know what the crazy thing about all this is? Despite all of its warts, all of its flaws, this game is still the best sports game in the world. It's not only because of the presentation and how good the game is, but it's also because all the other major AAA sports games do the exact same thing and have the exact same microtransaction practices. And this is why I'm so split on recommending the NBA 2K series to be in your video game backlog. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list, and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So here's my recommendation on where these games fit on your video game backlog list. So I'm definitely going to recommend NBA 2K series to be in your chill and relax game category. The narrative is nowhere good enough to be your main focus. And also, when this is your main game, your main focus, you're probably going to be less efficient when it comes to clearing out your video game backlog. So I think the perfect slot is that chill and relax game slot. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the 2022 remake that you should have in your video game backlog. That remake is The Last of Us Part 1. This game was rebuilt for the PS5, so it has all the features that the PS5 brings to the table, as well as many other improvements. In this episode, I'm going to break down those improvements and tell you why this game is one of the best games of all time. I crept slowly forward, carefully breathing slowly and moving as quietly as humanly possible, for I knew that if I made a sound, all hell would break loose. I can hear those clicking sounds all around the room. Oh, how much I hated that sound and the beings that they belonged to. The clickers always made me feel tense. Sure, I know that they can't see very well, so you could sneak around them, but in this world, things have a tendency to go wrong. One wrong move, and these fungus-encrusted remains of humans would try to swarm us. Those that fell victim to those kind of attacks either joined the ranks of the infected or ended up a bloody, pummeled mess. I looked back at Ellie. She's sticking close to me. That's good. I looked forward towards the doorway out of this underground train station. If we can make it to that door, we'll be safe. If we can make it there, perhaps we can breathe easy, if only for a moment. I crept slowly towards the goal, and then I heard a scream. I looked to the left, and I see one of the infected has spotted us. Damn it, they know we're here now. I quickly whip out my pistol and open fire. I have to protect us. I can't let them get to Ellie. Everything has gone to hell, and it's a fight for survival. I wish I could say that this is a unique occurrence, but in this world, everything wants to kill you. The infected and the other survivors, everyone wants to kill you. That's the sound of the other clicking sound that I hate to hear the most in the world. The click-click of an empty gun. There's about 5 infected left, and each one of them is walking towards us. I grab a metal pipe out of my backpack. There's a good chance that I'm going to die. But if I do, I'm going down swinging. So, this is a moment from The Last of Us. It's a game that has raised the bar on what I think video games can be. It's a game that hits hard and doesn't let go. And it's one of the experiences that you should have as a gamer. So let's talk about this latest remake of The Last of Us Part 1. When The Last of Us Part 1 was announced, I had the same questions and reactions as a lot of people. Did we really need another remake or remastered version of The Last of Us? I leaned towards no. After all, they just released the remastered game back in 2014 and it plays wonderfully on the PS4 and the PS5. Even though The Last of Us is among my top 5 games of all time, I still leaned towards no. So when this game came up for review, I went into it thinking that it really didn't deserve to be remastered or have that remake treatment. But then I heard the oh-so-familiar notes of the guitar, and I knew that The Last of Us had its hooks in me all over again. So with the show, I normally answer the question, is this game a good single-player experience? You've been listening to the show, so you already know my thoughts. You already know that I think this is a phenomenal single-player game experience. So let's focus on the other 3 major questions that most people have about this game. Like, for starters, should you pay $70 for The Last of Us Part 1? Is it worth that $70 AAA PlayStation exclusive price tag? The next question is this the best way to experience The Last of Us? And the final question, should you have The Last of Us Part 1 in your video game backlog? Let's dive right into it. I'll answer all three of those questions in this episode. Right off the bat, I can for sure answer one of those questions. Yes, the game is easily the best way to play The Last of Us. And to be honest, it's not even close. The haptic feedback and the blazing quick load times alone make this the best version of the game to date. Add to that, the game is a massive improvement visually. You can see more emotions on the face of the characters. You can genuinely tell when a character is worried, uncertain, stressed, and frustrated. Most of the time, they don't even have to speak to convey those emotions. You can see the light leaving an enemy's eyes when you're choking them to death. You can see how the weight of a moment is affecting someone when something earth-shattering is happening to them. The environments are often stunning and very detailed as well. Playing the remake of this game with its improvements graphically feels like I was playing the older versions with poor vision, and now I'm seeing the game while wearing contacts and glasses. I really feel like I'm seeing the game for the first time all over again. Things like shadows and textures stand out to me more. Landmarks like decaying cities and rivers seem more lifelike. Even the game's fictional zombies, the infected, feel more realistic and detailed. Let's switch gears and talk about this game's story. If you played the game before, then you know you are getting the exact same narrative as before. For those of you who've never played the game, here's a quick rundown. You play as Joel, a grizzled, closed-off man who's taken his fair share of hits from the world due to a zombie-like outbreak. Joel is a smuggler who's tasked with the job to get a teenage girl, Ellie, to a militia group known as the Fireflies. The emotional and hard-hitting journey changes them in ways that they couldn't even imagine. Even though we've seen plenty of other post-apocalyptic stories, The Last of Us always felt different and special. It's not the story that makes it special, though. It's the characters, Ellie and Joel. It's the way that we see them grow individually and slowly develop a bond between them. Over the journey, you can see how each of them lowers their barriers with each other. You can see those little details happening both in the story itself and in the gameplay. Despite this being a fictional world, everything about these two characters feels real. They evolve and interact with the world in a real way. Ellie and Joel just don't feel like your typical video game characters. No, they feel like people you know personally. And that's why you get invested in their journey. And what a journey it is. The 12 to 15 hour story is packed full of tense fights, great stealth, and suspenseful gameplay moments. The gameplay itself is fun, and every action feels like it has weight behind it. Speaking of gameplay, I want to shout out the game's large amount of accessibility options. This allows larger audiences to experience this game. This version also has a speedrun mode and a permanent death mode for those who want an even bigger challenge. So now that you heard about all the improvements and what this game has to offer, let's answer the other two questions. Should you pay $70 for The Last of Us Part 1? And should you have The Last of Us Part 1 in your video game backlog? The answer to the first question depends on you. If you're a person who doesn't mind paying the price, then I'd say get the game. It's a very good game to have in your collection. If you're a person who wants to experience the game again or for the first time, but don't want to pay the $70, I say wait for a sale. This is what I'd also advise to anyone who's on the fence about buying the game again. Do it when you're ready to replay this Hall of Fame level game. The improvements are worth experiencing this game over again if you haven't in a while. As for the last question, should you have this game in your video game backlog? The answer is a hell yeah. This game is a great single player experience and one of the best games of all time. The Last of Us is an absolute masterpiece and a game that every gamer should experience, especially if you've never experienced the game before. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So where should The Last of Us fit in your video game backlog? I would definitely recommend The Last of Us Part 1 to be in your single player narrative game slot. If you're going to play this game, then it should be your primary focus. The story is well crafted and rich with character development that you should enjoy it and not play it while bouncing around too much with other games. It's also a game that's a bit on the shorter side, so you can mainline it pretty quickly. In this episode, I'm going to talk about the most polarizing game of 2022, Gotham Knights. The game came out and there's a huge divide between the critical response and the player response. Critics did not like this game very much. And people seem to be defending this game online, saying that the game is being unfairly judged, that the game is in fact a fun time. Well, I've played and I've beaten Gotham Knights, and I have a lot of thoughts, both good and bad, about the game. So in this episode, I'm going to let you know if the game is indeed a good game and whether or not it is a good single player experience that you should have in your video game backlog. I want to start by saying that I'm a massive Batman fan. Over the years, I've played all the Batman games, read a large portion of the Batman comics, and I've seen every Batman movie. Batman has been my jam since day one. So when a Batman-centric game is announced, I always get excited. I can't help it. I can't help but to look forward to going toe-to-toe with villains like Mr. Freeze, Clayface, the Joker, Riddler, Penguin. You know, all of Batman's rogue gallery. Batman games are always in my most anticipated games list. That is, until the announcement of Gotham Knights. So for background, Gotham Knights is an action open world RPG where you can play solo or play co-op with a friend. It wasn't made by the same studio that did the amazing Arkham trilogy, but it was made by WB Games Montreal, who made the prequel to the Arkham games, Arkham Origins. In Gotham Knights, Batman is dead, so it's up to you to take the mantle and protect Gotham City. You play as Nightwing, Robin, Red Hood, and Batgirl, and you try to uncover the mystery behind the Court of Owls. It's an interesting and fresh premise, but is this a good game? Let's dive right into it. Gotham Knights always looked off to me. I couldn't quite figure out why, but then I realized it's because the game direction seems to be just as confused as I am. Let me explain. Gotham Knights seemed like a game that doesn't know what it wants to be. It seems like it wants to be a live service game, and it also seems like it wants to be a single-player action-adventure game like the Arkham games were. This game would have been drastically better if instead of trying to be both genres of games, it just picked one and really committed to it. By trying to be both, it feels like it was middle of the road in both aspects of its live service elements and its elements that it has from the Arkham games. Speaking of which, let's talk about how the game compares to the Arkham trilogy. I know, the studio and all the marketing made it clear that Gotham Knights is its own standalone game. That this game isn't tied to the Arkham games or the Arkham universe. I get that completely, but it's hard not to draw comparisons to the Arkham games. For one, it's a Batman-centric game, and Arkham is the standard for those type of games. Not to mention, Gotham Knights borrows a lot of elements from the Arkham games. So it's hard not to compare Gotham Knights to the Arkham trilogy. That said, when you do make that inevitable comparison, Gotham Knights doesn't quite measure up to the Arkham games. The gameplay itself just doesn't feel as good as it did in the Arkham games. Let me explain. This game gives you a bat cycle to drive around in, but it doesn't feel as good to drive as the Batmobile did in Arkham Knight. In Arkham Knight, Rocksteady also made calling the Batmobile to you really cool. You could call the car to you and instantly start driving all in one motion. In Gotham Knights, the bat cycle just kind of magically appears close to where you're at and you have to walk over to it and then get on it. It feels lazy compared to what we got in Arkham Knights back in 2015. That is a recurring theme in Gotham Knights. Everything feels less polished compared to the series of games that came out 10 years before. Cape gliding around the city isn't as zippy and fun. Grappling is more sluggish, especially without the grapple boost mechanic from the Arkham games. And the open world doesn't have that little details that made the Arkham City and Arkham Knight really feel like those open world games were lived in and constantly evolving. Another critique of Gotham Knights is just some of the decisions they made with the game overall. The bosses feel like damage sponges and just take punches and punches and punches without really being fun boss fights. The pacing of the story is weird and jarring. There are moments where you play this really cool boss fight, and then the game just makes this weird decision to make you play three of those same boss fights at the end of the game instead of just having the story progress. The game also isn't mindful of the player's time. For example, the game often has you returning to your HQ over and over again to start the next mission. Even when that next mission is in the open world you're currently roaming in, it seems like a really weird decision, and it just really pads the game out and makes it longer than it has to be. Just a personal nitpick, but I think it was a poor choice to have Tim Drake as Robin in this game. The version of Tim comes across as really whiny, and that doesn't do this character any favors as well. I think Damian Wayne would have been a much better choice. Damian would have brought some much-needed spice to the story, and it seems like a missed opportunity to see how the character would have responded to Bruce's death. Another con of the game is the load times. For a next-gen Series X, S, and PS5 game, the load times are extremely long. It took me back to the olden days when I had time to pick up my phone and scroll through social media during their loading screen. I know I've been extremely negative about the game, but there are some good qualities about it. For instance, the story is actually pretty good. It's good to see the other members of the Bat family also get the spotlight for once. The interactions between the members are also fantastic. They flesh out the characters and really help you connect with them. I gotta say, the intro cutscene of this game is so badass and hits so hard. It's unlike anything I've seen in any other medium of Batman, except for maybe the comics. Honestly, I would have loved to see this story as a live-action movie or even an animated movie as opposed to the game we got here. If you do play this game, do not skip the emails. The emails sent to each character that you play as is fantastic, especially if you're an overall DC fan. It really expands on the lore and the universe of this world. It was really cool to see emails from characters that I grew up reading and grew up watching, so please don't miss out on the emails. It's probably the best part of about the game overall. So, I'm here to tell you that the mixed reviews were pretty spot on. There are some good things about the game. However, those good moments are few and far between. For every step forward, this game takes two or even three steps backwards. The crazy thing is, Gotham Knights has moments of greatness. But those moments of greatness are surrounded by weird creative decisions, a bland and dull open world, and lackluster combat. Some people are enjoying this game. That's great. I'm happy for them. That said, this isn't a good game. Let's be real about it. This isn't a good game. It's a massive step backwards for the superhero video game genre, and it's a game that doesn't think about the players first. Unfortunately, Gotham Knights is a game that I'd ultimately recommend skipping. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single-player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list, and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, where would I recommend that you put Gotham Knights in your video game backlog list? Unfortunately, I'd recommend that you skip Gotham Knights altogether. I know that sounds harsh, but this game just isn't worth being in your video game backlog list. Unless you're like me, and you're a comic book fan, and you feel like you just have to experience comic book-centric games. In that case, I get it. If you fit into that camp, just mainline the main story. Get through it as soon as you can, or just watch the story on YouTube. This game really isn't worth spending a whole lot of time on, and there are tons of other games that you can actually be enjoying. Again, I know it sounds mean, but Gotham Knights isn't worth being in your video game backlog list. So, those are the video game recommendations of the week that you should consider adding to your video game backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the single-player experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single-player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free single-player experience Discord server is in the show notes. This has been the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap episode, where I break down every single game that was talked about during the week. It comes to you every single Friday, and I hope to catch you next Friday for the next week's recap episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.